Hi, I'm Anna Harris, and this is the Defined by God podcast, a support resource for Christians looking for hope and healing from trauma and adversity. Join us as we interview experts, hear stories of healing from real people, and discuss and define common types of trauma, how it impacts us, and the latest and best strategies for healing and thriving. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is episode 20 of the Defined by God Ministries podcast, and I'm really excited to introduce you to my guest today. Her name is Desiree Simons, and I met Desiree during a coaching training at the Arizona Trauma Institute. And she shared some of her story, and it's a really amazing story of things that she's overcome and just the transformation that God has brought in her life, and also things that she's learned through trauma coaching. And so I thought, this is something I really want my listeners and viewers to be able to hear her story. So I'm going to bring Desiree on now. There you are. Hi, Desiree. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing your story. I think you have an amazing story of just God's redemption and building resiliency. But so I will just let you go ahead and share your story.
So I'm Desiree, and I will be 29 on April 14th. And the one thing that I really want to stress was I was lost, but now I'm found. That began as a child. I went through a lot of sexual trauma starting at the age of 4, and it continued on throughout my life. But in my teenage years, I started struggling with addiction, and I began at 14 really getting into different lifestyles. I was rebelling and trying to, I didn't really have a set identity within myself, so I was trying to fill that void up within myself. I ended up getting diagnosed with PTSD, ADHD, anxiety, depression, borderline split personality disorder, bipolar. There was so many labels that were put on me at that time. I was, by the time I was 16, I was on 13 pills twice a day. I got involved in trafficking, and there's different forms of that that some are familiar with and some aren't, but it just kind of went on. I was hospitalized in mental hospitals 7 different times between the ages of 12 and 17, and once in a treatment facility in San Marcos. I was in multiple abusive relationships. And whenever I turned 18, I quit all of my medications, and I ended up moving in with my grandma. She would hate me for saying that, but anyways, granny. And she helped me stay sober because I knew that she would not be happy if I ended up relapsing. So she had dementia, though, and I helped take care of her. And it was the safest I ever felt living with her. And she taught me a lot about God. But I put my identity in her. And so when she passed away, that was whenever I really started doubling down on just not healing from the trauma and just walking through a lot of shame. But anyway, so I ended up getting pregnant with my son in 2014. Their dad, who is now my ex-husband, I also had another child, my daughter, in 2015. And it was a really trialing time because I had postpartum depression, and I was still dealing with a lot of trauma. So it was a continual roller coaster. My ex-husband and I, we were married, and we were what you call swingers. I identified as bisexual, and at times whenever I was too traumatized by men, I would identify as a lesbian. I identified as a medium, a witch, just in the new age, a lot of different avenues that I tried to find stability in that never fulfilled the need. It actually made it worse. By the time I turned 26, I think April of 2020, just fast forward, because there was a lot of substance abuse and alcoholism that was, you know, me and my children went through. In April of 2020, I ended up dying for 5 minutes. My mom put her hands on me and brought me back to life because she prayed and rebuked Satan. But at that moment, I knew I needed to change my life around. I just didn't know how, because I still wanted to get high and drink. And so I prayed and I asked God to help me, and pretty much to take my children from me so I could go get help. And he did. So CPS got involved. My children ended up, I believe it was July of 2020, they ended up getting taken. And in August of 2020, I went to the Mercy Gate Ministries, which is they had the Magdalene House. And I walked in there and I told God I would do anything and everything I could to change my life around, just that as long as he never left me, and he hasn't. And the one moment in that ministry that really changed everything for me was a weekend we took to, I think it was Uvalde, to a worship thing. The leader of the group, her name's Che. She's amazing, Mama Che. But she told me that the reason why it was so hard for me to get closer to God was because of my unforgiveness for my own earthly father. And so she suggested I write him a letter. And so I wrote one. And then the next day I read it to her, and she told me that we would get a man in the church to apologize on behalf of him and stand in the gap for him. And she called it a father's blessing. And so we left that day to go to the event at the Empty Cross in Kerrville, Texas. Sean Foyt was there. And when we got there, I separated from the group. And I was just like in awe, because I could feel like something was different. I just didn't know what it was yet. And then out of nowhere, this man approaches me, and it was either Mark or Mike from Houston. And he said, "Ma'am, I know you don't know me, but I feel like I need to give you a blessing, in particular, a father's blessing." And when he said that, I was blown away, because 6 hours before, she said that we need to get a man to do that. So I'm like, okay, let's do it. And he prayed over me, his wife prayed over me. And I was standing there after they got done, and it felt like something broke off of me. It was the first time I ever felt God. Like, I knew and I loved him like my whole life, but I didn't feel him like that. And then I look over to my right, and there was this woman with blue hair. And I'm like, wow, that's blue hair. But then I realized I knew her. And she was a childhood friend's mom that I went to school with down here in the Hill Country. And so I walked over there and we just caught up. And then she asked me, "Do you want prayer?" And come to find out, I didn't know it at the time, but she dealt a lot with like satanic ritual abuse victims and helping them get deliverance and stuff. Well, she prayed over me, and I'm not going to say specifically what she said, but it was powerful. And I ended up getting, like, I felt like this car wash inside of me. And I looked up at her face, and I could see Jesus in her face. And she said, "The Lord has made you pure." And that seeped so far down into my soul. It was like, I haven't been this pure since I was 4 years old. And they prayed, and they they screamed in my belly with the joy bond, which that's not talked about too much, but I think it needs to be talked about more. But anyways, after that, I went and got baptized by Carla Solomon. And ever since that day, everything has been like life changing for me. I went from this performance mask, like person or whatever, to a 5-year-old traumatized little girl. Mm-hmm. And the pain was there. It was very open and honest. But through that process, Jesus met me. He met me in the depths of the darkness, and he walked me through every pain, every little trial, the big ones and the small ones. And in November of 2020, I got my children back.
Wow.
And I people joke that I went from drugs and alcohol to shofar, because that's literally what happened. I'm addicted to Jesus. So I stood on the side of the road with signs and tried, you know, I'm like, you don't know it, but you need him, you know, like trying to convince people that this is the way. But
You know, it's so interesting. You started by saying, you know, some trauma that happened in your childhood, and it's the I think it's Gabor Mata who says we shouldn't ask people why their addiction, but what pain, you know, is behind it. Yeah. And so that it's just, you know, so many people, they don't know where to go with their pain, and so they do turn to addictions of different types. Right. And things. So yeah. Right. So you used a lot of different things to like cover the pain, mm-hmm. Or get away from the pain. But then you're saying that basically then once you gave all that up, then the pain was still there.
Yes.
But Jesus was able to really take care of that.
Right. And the thing that a lot of people don't understand is just because you accept him into your heart doesn't mean that the pain doesn't go away. That's just a promise that you'll be able to get through that pain, because everything else in this world will not get you through that pain. It only puts a Band-Aid on it. And Jesus actually walks in the midst of the storm with you. It's like Peter on the water. You know, he fell in the water, but Jesus was right there, reached his hand out and pulled him up. It's literally like he will change everything if you let him. He will transform it if you let him. It's our choice to choose him. Like, he's already there waiting for us to grab his hand.
So it sounds like it was a miracle just that you even found the ministry that you went to. What was it called again?
Mercy Gate Ministries.
Mercy Gate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome. So can you tell us what that was like, and how long that took, that type of thing?
So normally the program itself is about 12 months, which they don't put a number on it because everyone's different. Mm-hmm. My particular case, I ended up having to do the residential for 3 months. And then I moved into, my mom helped me. I moved into her house and did non-residential because I had to get my kids back because they were not in a safe environment. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So then you were able to get your kids back and still continuing the program. Yep. And just a lot of healing and growth and everything.
Yes.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
So, how did you get interested in doing the trauma coaching training?
So in August of last year, I knew God, I felt like this call that I needed to do something with all of the healing I've already been through. And I needed to like pretty much help others go through what I've been through.
Uh-huh.
And I was praying for a school, but I didn't like, I have a couple ideas or whatever, but I walked into Mercy Gate and, Annette, the other girl that was in our class, she was like, "Hey, so I'm going to do the school. You want to do it with me?" I'm like, "Heck yeah." So, it was amazing because literally, I went home, I prayed about it. And then my aunt, I told my aunt about it, and she was like, where do I need to put my debit card?
Wow.
And I, when that happened, I knew in that moment that I was going to be able to do it.
Yeah. That's so awesome. So awesome. So tell us about part of your transformation, like, because we know, yes, God does things quickly, but then there's also the walking it out day to day. So tell us about that. What did that look like for you?
So a lot of the times whenever people talk about walking it out, it's you're presented with old familiar things, and then you're having to address it differently than you used to. For me, it was, you know, being around people who were drinking or doing partying or things like that. Instead of seeing the temptation of it, I saw their pain. Like praying for my eyes to be changed and my desires to be changed. I did, like, thankfully, I didn't have too hard of a time with that. There was a lot of shame that I had to walk through, just for my own, like, how I put my kids through all that stuff, you know. But God used that. He used that. There's that verse, and I've heard this prophetic word. Is it okay if I share it? Or okay, so it's a, like, David, you think about the king, or like when he was a boy and he was going up against Goliath, the sword that was meant to kill him, he turned around and cut off the head of his enemy. And it's like, whenever you're walking through the process of pain and healing, every memory that pops up, every trauma, every flashback that pops up, that's an opportunity. Like, some people take it as an attack, but really it's an opportunity for you to ask Jesus to come into that moment and say, help me. Help me. Yep. Like, there's prayers and stuff that he's given me through that process of help me to break the lies off of my mind and off of my heart so that I can see the truth. You know, because when those traumatic events happen, we start believing lies about ourselves or about other people. And then it puts like a program in our minds that everyone's like that, or we're always going to be like this around those people, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's going into the depths of that lie and that trauma that we agreed to, and rewiring our systems so that we can be the fullness of who we're supposed to be for God and for our lives.
Yeah, because our trauma does not have to define us. We want to be back to who God created us to be.
Right.
So I know you mentioned that there were some, like, identity scriptures that you used. And I'll just let people know. Let me put that up, because we're going to have that available for people on the website. If you go to definedbygod.com/episode20, then there will be some resources there that you can download and that you can see. But you had a list of, like, identity scriptures that if you were thinking one thing, you would say, no, that's not the truth. This is the truth over here.
What I did at first, because I didn't know how to do that quite yet, is I would read them. Like, I would make, like, 5 minutes a day in the morning or in the afternoon or whenever it was. And I would just read them over myself. And I started doing that. And then there was moments where I would notice where my mind would go a certain way. And then a scripture that I've read on there would pop up in my mind. It was like, I can do all things through Jesus Christ. So it's like, it's super helpful, because we fight with the sword of the word. Like, that's how we fight. So anyways.
Yeah, that's so good. That's good. Yeah, that is, because our identity, unfortunately, like, when we have things in our life, trauma, addiction, or different things, then we can sometimes identify with that. Like, that's my identity. Oh, I'm a traumatized person. I'm an addict. I'm a this, I'm a that.
Yeah.
And so when we're walking out of that, then we have to renew our mind in order mm-hmm. to, you know, to really know who we really are. So,
right.
Yeah. So it sounds like you really have done a lot of work on that part.
Yes, there's that verse that says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. Those are the false identities and the false lies and all that stuff. And then taking every thought captive, like, and putting it under the submission of Jesus. If you don't feel strong enough to do it, guess what? You got an advocate and he will fight for you. Put it under submission. You think about like a protective, healthy version of a dad, right? It's kind of like that, like, okay, I can't handle this no more. Look, this is yours. And he's like, hey, leave my daughter alone, you know?
Yeah. So, and you were mentioning at the beginning that someone prayed a father's blessing over you. Mm-hmm. And that is one thing. I mean, the father heart revelation is something that has really transformed my life to be able to, because we can have a relationship with Jesus, but he came to show us the way to the Father. And mm-hmm. a lot of people don't realize that. So how has that been for you? Just kind of getting to know God as your Heavenly Father.
So I will say the relationship between my earthly father, like if I can share real quick, our relationship has grown so much and it has been such a beautiful transformation. Being able, because I talk to him now, like we read scriptures. They tried, like they really did try to teach me about God growing up, but I just wasn't ready.
Mm-hmm.
But the like learning about the Father, oh my gosh, it's been so incredible. And it's like, I don't know if they say this in like the Christianese or whatever, but like the inner child, that has to be reparented.
Yes.
Sometimes. Exactly. And Jesus could do it, but really that's not his nature. You know, like the Father has a nature about him that when you're messing up, he's going to give you a butt whipping, you know, and whenever you're in a healthy, healed place, the fear of the Lord is not threatening. It's like, okay, I messed up and I know I need to do right. Cause it's like putting a boundary around you to explore. To explore yourself, explore who you want to be and who you want to be in him. And it's safe.
Yeah. I bet your family is so happy to see the transformation in your life.
They like I've all of my family is, yes, but there's been one particular family member that I need to honor on this because my aunt, like I got dentures and her and her husband, my uncle, they literally have like invested in me financially so much that it's like, it gives me confidence to know that I'm going to make everyone in my family, even the ones that are in heaven, proud. Like my kids, they're going to be proud of me. Like because I know that God redeemed me and restored me and called me by name. Because I got a prophetic word about the generational curse breaker, like for my family, that I'm not that one. And I'm like, I'm declaring that because I want them to see me and see Jesus directly.
Yeah.
Like it's, but anyways, thank you, Lord.
That's so awesome. So you had mentioned when we talked before, because I was asking, what was the, some of the things that you learned from the trauma recovery training that really helped you. And you mentioned like self-regulation and that kind of thing.
Yes. I love self-regulation so much. Yeah. It's
can you kind of explain what that is and then how you helped your kids with it?
Sure. Yeah. So like deep breaths is my thing mainly. And like doing it, like that a couple of times resets your nervous system. And for them, most of the time it's to bring their energy down. But if I need to get them in an up state, we'll like spin in a circle because it grounds them internally. and they close their eyes, and it's funny and it makes them laugh, but it also, because it makes you go into a space where you feel like you have to remain stable within to make sure you don't fall over on the out. So, and I even do it by myself, to be honest with you. But it's great. And I did get married in November. Sorry, I didn't put that. But I even get my husband to do it sometimes too. And he's like, oh, here we go. But it's okay.
Yeah, good. So, yeah. And so just so our listeners and viewers know, so people can that have had trauma that can be triggered, or even just everyday things can get us dysregulated, mm-hmm. where we're in a dysregulated state, which is where we might feel anxious, or our heart rate increases, or we're nervous, that kind of thing. We need to really try to live as much as possible in a regulated, calm state, because it's better for our mental health, our physical health, and everything. And sometimes with children, we think they're misbehaving, but they're actually dysregulated, especially mm-hmm. in school and stuff like that. That's why we really need educators to have trauma training too. But so anyway, so you were saying that was one of the helpful things for you to learn. If you get dysregulated, then how to kind of get back to a regulated state.
My trips to HEB are totally different now because of it. Like I used to be extremely hypervigilant. Like I was scanning every person, like who's the threat. Uh-huh. And now I'm like, hi everybody, how are you?
Yeah.
Because I'll do it. It takes like a minute before you get before you get out of the car, and it totally changes everything.
Yeah. That's very cool. So I know you had a few scriptures to share as well. Things, I guess these are things that have really helped you.
Yes. So when I was in the Magdalene house, God gave me this verse, and this was what he was doing with me. Like it was a representation of what season I was going to be in for like uh-huh. until now probably. But it's Hosea 2:14 through 22.
Okay. And I have it up there on the screen, but for those listening, Hosea 2:14 through 22, let's go ahead.
But then I will win her back once again. I will lead her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her there. I will return her vineyards to her and transform the valley of trouble into a gateway of hope. She will give herself there to me as she did in her youth, when I freed her from her captivity in Egypt. When that day comes, says the Lord, you will call me my husband instead of my master. I will wipe the many names of Baal from your lips, and you will never mention them again.
I love that scripture. So how did that speak to you? Like, what did it mean to you?
It's like kind of like what I said about the traumatized little girl. I was still traumatized, but it was like he was bringing me back into like the little seeds that were sown over the years from different people that had spoken to my life about him. Uh-huh. And then like really revealing how to be loved.
Yeah.
And because I lost that. I don't know if I ever really had it, but you know, it's just like showing me how to be loved, be taken care of and tendered, like tender care. And then the names of Baal, like all of the idols that I worshiped, the identities that I made agreement with, I one by one took them out of my mouth.
Yeah.
And I no longer speak of them. Like I don't even like even just referencing them from my testimony, but you know.
Yeah. And we talked yesterday, I think, about the movie Redeeming Love and the book mm-hmm. Redeeming Love, because it's based on Hosea as well. But it's such a beautiful story. And
yes, trigger warning if anybody wants to read it, just so you know. At times it took me 6 months to finish that book because it was so hard.
Very true. So, okay, that is, I love your story. So was there another, I think we have a couple more scriptures.
Yes. So there's, for the goodness of God leads to repentance, Romans 2:4. That one, like one of the things that I know I took advantage of was people helping me whenever I was in my addiction. I didn't really see their intention. I just was selfish. And one of the things that God revealed to me, like through the healing process, was where his goodness was in those moments, where he was trying. And it like caused me, because, you know, repent and turn from your sins. You know, there's that verse too, but it's truly repentance is going back to those moments of when you made mistakes and asking for forgiveness, even if it was like 20 years ago. You know, like a lot of people just think, oh, I repent of my sins and that's enough. And that may be for them. But for me, it was like, no, I repent for making agreement with that person that I was then. And because his goodness outweighed all of that and it changed and transformed everything. So that's why I love that. Because his goodness outweighs all of it.
It's his kindness, draws us to him. Okay. And then I think you had 2 Corinthians.
Yes. So this is like a foundational one. 2 Corinthians 4:8-10. We are hard pressed on every side, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Mm-hmm. That, whenever you're walking through healing, there's going to be moments that you're going to be like, why is this happening? Why am I going through this? This is painful. Mm-hmm. This doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But in those moments is whenever we really learn how to rely on his strength and his love and finding the joy. You know, I always pictured the, I don't remember how to say the names, but they were in the burning furnace. They were probably in there dancing, like, woohoo, you know, like we're going in through the fire. It's not an easy process, but he's revealed in those moments, like his body, everything he did for us is revealed. So,
yeah, that's really good. So, okay. And then you had Galatians 5:22-23.
Yes. So the fruit of the spirit or the, well, not spirit, sorry, fruit of the spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. One of the girls I was in the Magdalene house wrote a song and she would sing them.
Oh.
And it dawned on me as I was walking through healing that these are actually the fruits of healing.
Yeah.
Like once you start healing and you start like reprogramming your mind and renewing your mind and truly transforming, that becomes your natural response to everything. Like your integrity is better. Your self-control is better. Your ability to love is so much better. You're a lot more joyful. You can actually see it in action within yourself.
Yeah. And, well, and that's the character of God. So the more time we spend with him, the more like him we become. Yes. Yeah.
That's so good. Awesome.
So very good. That's so good. Anything else that you wanted to share?
I did want to just reference like a little about Mercy Gate, if that's okay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So they actually are, it's for human and sex trafficking and sex exploitation victims. They have a non-residential and a residential program. It's amazing. But if anyone wants to look them up, they have a lot of resources for individuals. If you are in any way, shape, or form struggling or know someone that's struggling with either being in trafficking or, you know, may have signs, or you may want to know what the signs are. Yes. They have resources that you can go and you can find out what those signs look like. They have different programs, references, all kinds of stuff. There's a lot of knowledge, and there's a lot of knowledge on Google too, but I recommend Mercy Gate because they're trustworthy.
Right.
So, and they're amazing people that literally they go through hell and back for these girls.
Wow.
And thankfully now I get to walk alongside them. I'm not officially like an employee yet, but hopefully one day I will be.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to see how they transform others' lives too.
That's so great. So, I mean, what amazing and important work. And it's so necessary because I think it's even more common than people think.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. It's a, I mean, you could do a whole podcast on what that would look like.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so happy to hear your story of being free, getting free, and free of everything. And I was wondering if you would be willing to just pray for people that are listening, that maybe they're struggling with, you know, similar things, or they know someone, you know, and they want to help them. If you could just maybe go ahead and just pray.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to just put my hands up.
Lord
Jesus, thank you for the person on the other side of this screen. Lord, I lift them up to you. I lift up any heavy burdens that may be carried. Lord, your word says that your burden is light and your yoke is easy. I just ask that those heavy burdens would be lifted off and that you would place upon them your burden and your yoke. And your peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord, I just ask if anyone is struggling with addiction or may know someone that's struggling with addiction, I just stand in agreement with their prayers. But also, Lord, I ask that you would freely deposit in them or that person what you have freely deposited into me. The transformation, the healing, the strength, the ability to walk alongside you and not be afraid. And Lord, I just ask for healing to just come over this screen. Healing from wounds, from traumatic events, from whatever it may be, Lord. I just ask for healing to be blessed upon this person. And Lord, I ask that you would open doors for recovery. Also, Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit would come on over this screen right now and just wash this person with wisdom, with love,
yes,
with your word, and the passion to read your word, to get to know you more. Help them to be strong in you and learn what that truly looks like. And Lord, I ask that if there's any identities that this person is struggling with, Lord, I ask that you would just show them their true identity in you. That you would reveal truth and you would reveal your love and your true unconditional love for them. I also lift up anyone who may know anyone or may be struggling with trafficking right now. I ask, Lord, that you would give them open doors to escape or be rescued.
Yes.
I ask for your angels to be on assignment.
Mm-hmm.
And dispatch your warring angels to protect those people and bring justice,
yes,
into those situations.
Yes. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, and we know Jesus came to set the captives free and to heal the brokenhearted. So we just thank you for that. We thank you, Father, for your love, which brings great transformation. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Ah, so thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story and for praying, and just what an amazing transformation that God has done in your life. And I'm grateful for your relatives too. You know, that's so kind to just be, you know, helping God and in that way. And so anyway, but thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story. I think people are going to be really encouraged by it. And again, if they want to see the show notes, because we'll put the identity scriptures there, and also I'll put a link to the ministry that you mentioned as well. Mm-hmm. And so you can go to definedbygod.com/episode20. And yeah, thank you so much. Any last words that you want to say to everybody?
Jesus loves you.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining us for the Defined by God podcast. If you'd like more information, please visit our website at definedbygod.com and be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel and email list.